Thanks, Lisa. Happy to be down here at this forum this morning, giving the perspective of the state of Arizona. We'll give you some background information on what the status is in Arizona of our water situation, and talk about some of the challenges moving forward for the state and how we're going to address those challenges. So, starting out with our water budget statewide, we use 7 million acre feet of water. 40% of that water comes from the Colorado River. 23% of that 40% comes through the CAP. The rest of it's used on the river. Our in-state supplies, which are relatively small, our in-state rivers are 17% of our supply. Groundwater is 40%, and then permitted reclaimed water use is 3%. The different sectors that use water are, again, the bulk of our water is still used by agriculture, about 74%. 21% of our use is municipal, and then 5% is industrial. This graphic is something that I think the state of Arizona is proud of. Everyone that is a water practitioner, the water providers, they all are proud of this graphic. What this shows is that in 1957, we were using 7.1 million acre feet of water. That volume, the blue line, climbed over time. But now, and this is 2013 data, we're using 100,000 acre feet less than we did in 1957. At the same time, our population has gone up sixfold in our gross domestic income and economic indicator has gone up 19-fold. So we're using less water with a lot more people and a lot more economic impact. And that's a result of many different things. Many of the water development projects on this slide, the development of the Central Arizona Project, and most recently in 1980, the passage of the Groundwater Management Act, which created the Department of Water Resources and set us on a path to use our water more efficiently than we had been using it in the past. One of the requirements of the Groundwater Code is in the active management areas that it applies to, basically the populous corridor of the state from Tucson through Phoenix and then up around Prescott, that we have mandatory water conservation requirements for agriculture, for municipal use, and for industrial use. In the Colorado River Basin, we are the only state that from a state level down has mandatory water conservation requirements in place. They were teed up in 1980. I think they became enforceable in 1987. So we've been doing this for a long time. We do have requirements for drought preparedness plans. The state has a drought plan. All our water providers are required to have drought plans and water conservation plans as well. One of the key provisions of the Groundwater Code is the Assured Water Supply Program. That program requires that housing development before those houses can be built and sold prove up to the department that they have a 100-year renewable water supply in place. That includes using our groundwater aquifers in a put-and-take kind of a way. Recharge and recovery is included in that renewable supply definition, an important factor, especially for the Tucson area. Underground storage and recovery and Arizona water banking, again, was kind of a landmark program created by the Act and amended by the Act over the years. Through that program, 9 million acre feet of water has been put under the ground, either by municipal providers or by the Arizona Water Banking Authority. This program is pretty renowned in the United States. In June of this year, there was a drought oversight hearing in the Senate Natural Resources and Energy Committee. I had the pleasure of testifying. The committee staff asked me specifically to talk about our underground storage program because of its uniqueness and because of its far-reaching and proactive process that was created by that program. Just another quick set of data here showing one of the values of the Groundwater Management Act, and that is a reduction over time in our per capita use by municipalities. These are large municipal water providers within the active management areas. You can see that the number in 1995 was 140 gallons per capita per day. That's gone down to 112, again, the 2013 data. So there are some ups and downs in that line, obviously, but it's a positive trend. There's probably still some more we can squeak out of this conservation program, and I'll talk a little bit more about how we might do that later on. The next series of slides that I have is important because we want to start to move forward the conversation about how important it is to the economy of our state to have sound water resource management. In the Yuma area, they have a $2.8 billion a year economic output from their agriculture. Their agriculture provides 80 to 85% of all the green leafy vegetables in North America between November and April. So as the Yuma folks like to remind me, if you're eating salad on Thanksgiving with your turkey, it's coming from Yuma. And to get there, they've really decreased their water use over time, a function of the market forces driving them forward. Their efficiencies have increased as well over time. And of course, they're irrigating more vegetables in the wintertime and doing less intensive irrigation in the summertime when more water gets used because of the heat and the evaporation. The Central Arizona Project commissioned a study, and it concluded that from 1986 to 2010, the delivery of CAP water into the CAP service area created in excess of $1 trillion in Arizona gross state product. In 2010, the $128 billion of gross state product was almost half of the total for the entire state. So obviously you can see the economic importance of CAP to the service area and to the benefit of the state as a whole. Not to be left out, the mining industry is an important industry, almost a $5 billion industry, creating over 50,000 jobs and 65% of the copper production in the United States comes from Arizona mines. We don't want to leave out the golf industry, although sometimes it's a target because of the visible use of water and the grass that's needed to be grown on the golf courses. Nevertheless, it's created a $3.4 billion economic output, again, over 50,000 jobs. And we've done a good job over the years of converting golf courses from potable resources to renewable, or from mined groundwater to renewable resources as the source of supply for those golf courses. And then last, wanted to mention quickly the Palo Verde Nuclear Generating Station. At least in the Phoenix metropolitan area, it's a large user of reclaimed water. It creates a $1.8 billion annual economic impact. It's the largest power generator, single generator in the United States since 1992. It's the only nuclear power plant claimed, cooled with reclaimed water. It provides electricity for 4 million people, and the three units can produce 4,000 megawatts. What's important to note here is that the idea of using reclaimed water for this facility came about in the early 1970s at a time when just about everyone in the United States was just trying to get rid of their reclaimed water, not trying to find uses for it. So it's one example of Arizona being at the forefront of reclaimed water reuse. So what has all this done? We've seen in the newspapers many articles about the water crisis in the West, the crisis in California. We're certainly not in the same situation. I believe we're not in that same crisis situation where California is. In California, their demand has exceeded their supply, especially in the Central Valley and that part of Northern California. Others, as I heard yesterday, and I always learn something when I come to these talks, I had a talk at CAP yesterday and I heard the term critical juncture, that we're at a point of critical juncture in this state in dealing with the situation in our state, the situation in the West, and the challenges that we're facing. Some of those challenges are being driven by the ongoing 16-year drought. Some of those challenges will relate to population and economic growth that will increase demand for water. I think in the short term, our challenges really deal with looming shortages on the Colorado River. I think Marie's going to get into this a little bit more, and I'll try not to duplicate her efforts. In the midterm, we're seeing our areas of the state, and we call them on this slide rural areas. We're really talking about areas outside of the active management areas that do not have groundwater regulation. Their primary source, if not exclusive source, is groundwater. We don't know a lot about aquifer levels, water use. There's no reporting requirements for agriculture in those areas. And in large part, the rural areas lack the financial planning and staff resources to address some of their issues. Probably the two biggest areas that have been a problem or a challenge recently are the Wilcox and San Simone area, east of Tucson here. And I'm sure you're all seeing the growing debate about farming in Arizona. I think Saudi Arabia owns a farm in western Arizona and is growing alfalfa and exporting it. I think there were two articles in the newspaper today about that issue. Then again, in the long term, we're talking about our growth. So we have been working on Colorado River shortage preparedness. Reclamation predicts probabilities of shortage as early as 2017. Some Arizona water users will be impacted. I think Marie's going to get into that more. And I do have a slide, real quickly, to help illustrate that. I know Marie is going to talk more about the right-hand bar here, the CAP impacts. I did want to mention in that left-hand bar that in terms of the on-river users, in the blue part of that box are the higher priority users in the Yuma area, the city of Yuma and Yuma Ag. They're not going to be impacted. The river cities, Lake Havasu, Bullhead City, et cetera, won't be impacted in this first shortage year because they haven't grown into their entitlement yet, and the shortage is based on their entitlement. There is about 3,500 acre feet of use that will go away in Tier 1. It's listed here as tribes, industry, and agriculture. It's APS, Arizona Public Service Company Power Plant, the Hopi tribe who bought some low priority ag land, and some other agriculture users that are being impacted potentially. We do have over 3.4 million acre feet of Colorado River Water Bank through the Arizona Water Banking Authority that can be backfilled, that can backfill shortages to our M&I, municipal and industrial CAP users, and in part to some of the Indian tribes pursuant to the 2004 Arizona Water Settlement Act. So we do have quite a bit of water under the ground that can be parsed out over time to help backfill those shortages. I'm going to skip through this just in the interest of time. I talked a little bit about San Simone and Wilcox already. And I want to get to how we're going to move forward to address all of these challenges, but primarily the midterm and the long-term challenges. And that is the implementation of the Arizona Strategic Vision for Water Supply Sustainability, a report prepared by DWR and published in January of 2014. Obviously, its purpose was to identify strategies and actions that we can take in the future to provide water supplies and to make sure we don't end up in a place where our demand outstrips our supply. It's using existing information. We're going to look at local options first, and then we have some priority strategies. And again, repeating the idea that because we are doing our due diligence and looking forward at potential supply and demand imbalances, that doesn't mean that today we have a crisis level problem. We sometimes get beat up in the media about that issue. So some of the guts of what we're dealing with: through the Water Resources Development Commission, we've identified a supply and demand imbalance in the amount of 900,000 acre feet to 3.2 million acre feet. 900,000 is about 25 years out. 3.2 million is about 100 years out. And again, the demands that we looked at in that process were not constrained by supply. They were also somewhat on the optimistic side. The folks who participated in that process wanted to make sure that their little piece of the pie was included in the demand projections. So the demands are probably a little bit on the high side. In 2012, the Bureau of Reclamation published the Colorado River Basin Water Supply and Demand Study. That looked out through 2060 in the Colorado River Basin at supply and demand and came up with a 3.2 million acre foot kind of median deficit. Arizona's piece of that 3.2 million in the short term, about 260,000, out in the long term, about 1.4 million. That study was also done in a way that didn't constrain demand to your allocations of Colorado River water in each state. Really, it was looking at the potential for augmentation of the Colorado River to create more water to go beyond your allocations. So the strategic vision also created 22 planning areas. The planning areas are not basically created on the basis of hydrologic boundaries or political boundaries, but they were created on the basis of areas that might have common problems, common challenges, but also areas that might have to be able, might be able to collaborate and work together to find common solutions. Some of the strategic vision water supply opportunities that were included in the plan were reallocating the remaining non-Indian agricultural priority CAP water, increasing our use of reclaimed water. We think as much as 50% of the imbalance can be met through this indirect potable and eventually potable reuse of reclaimed water. We looked at groundwater and storage. There's millions and millions of acre feet throughout the state. Some of it is potable, some of it is poor quality that would need treatment. And of course, utilizing that groundwater is going to take trade-offs, hard decisions, and will be an interesting part of the discussion about how to do that or how not to do that. Water supply development projects like revised water watershed management practices, things like tamarisk control, forest health that can increase runoff in our rivers is important. Weather modification, some of you might know that as cloud seeding. That's been going on in the upper basin of the Colorado River for quite a while. Some of that funding has been coming from CAP and from DWR, more recently DWR. And of course, rainwater harvesting at different scales. Some of that's happening around the state, especially here in Tucson. And then ultimately, discussions of importation, creation of new supplies, things like ocean desalination, or brackish groundwater desalination. Obviously, we don't have an ocean, but Mexico does and California does, and there are potential opportunities there for us to partner with those folks. Some of the strategic priorities that were identified in the plan: move forward the general stream adjudication, resolve the federal and non-federal water right claims. That will provide some certainty, potentially allowing for some sever and transfer of some of those rights, potentially the leasing of Indian water to non-Indians, as is happening in part today. And then also making it known to individuals how much water they actually have, and that might build up some momentum to do some of these other hard choices that I talked about earlier. Again, reuse, we talked about that already. More data collection. In the active management areas, we have mandatory reporting. There's some mandatory reporting requirements for municipal use outside of active management areas, but we need more data, we need more groundwater level information. And if we're going to do better modeling, better projections, and come up with solutions, we need to have more data and more data collection. We do need to talk about in-state water transfers from ag to municipal use. That is a highly divisive issue. Farmers don't want to give up their water. The study that Yuma did that I talked about, the one slide, that study was really done to tell the rest of Arizona to keep your hands off our water. It's too valuable in Yuma. Nevertheless, those conversations have to occur. We talked about desal. And then the last piece, potentially, funding, how we're going to make this all happen. That's always been a huge challenge for the water folks, something I think that we're not very good at doing. So Governor Ducey, on October 5th, did announce his water initiative, which essentially is the implementation of this plan. It's important to note for me that this plan was published, Strategic Vision, under Governor Brewer's administration. Nevertheless, Governor Ducey is embracing that plan and moving the process forward. Governor Ducey has spoken throughout the state and in his speech in Israel about the importance of the history of collaboration in Arizona among the water users, and that history and that collaboration leading us to the point we're at today and being pretty resilient compared to other parts of the West. And he's definitely very interested in seeing that process move forward, and it's part of the reason that I think he made his water initiative a building block on top of the strategic vision. So there are going to be two tracks that we're going to move forward with in the implementation of the vision. The first track is DWR is going to prioritize the 22 planning areas based on the most immediate needs, the most immediate challenges. Again, one of those areas is the Cochise planning area that includes Wilcox and San Simone. We'll be working on identifying the other two areas that we're going to try to look at over the next year. And one of the good news items, and many of you out there have been very supportive of DWR and its budget, and we appreciate that. We are going to hire 3 full-time employees, 2 planners and hydrologists to help with this track. And then for track 2, the governor is going to appoint a team called the Governor's Water Advisory Commission. The team will be led again by DWR. The team will report back to DWR with recommendations on potential policy, direction, or other statutory changes. We're going to be looking probably first at additional opportunities for water conservation. Our probably second task will be looking at moving reuse forward, and then we'll get into some of the tougher issues, not that those will be easy, including the desalination issues and the water transfer issues. For that process, we're going to be hiring 2 folks to help out the department. So I think we're looking at the initiative as kind of the next big thing. The last big thing, so to speak, was the 1980 Groundwater Code. So we will be moving forward with that process, and I expect really good and big things to come out of it. So with that, I'll thank you for your attention.